Mark, that's 98, so, no. 98. In all quarters.
Let us pray. Our dearest, most wonderful Heavenly Father, we come to you, gathering together in this midweek Bible study, that we can meet with like-minded folks, that we can go out into the world with renewed vigor, to teach your word to all who will listen. We thank you for the building that you've given to us and that we can come together in a protected place and that we are safe from persecution in our country. We ask that you help those brethren who are away from us or who cannot join us, whether it be a physical or spiritual issue, that they may be able to overcome their problems with your guidance, that they can join us once again and be encouraged as we are. We ask that you help us to come together with the right mind and that we can take the lessons that we learn from your word and apply them to our lives as we study together. We ask that you continue to guide us as we worship in accordance with your word and that we gain from each other. We ask that you continue to watch over us as we part ways beyond the meeting together. In your son's name we pray. Amen.
To bring our service to a close tonight, I want to leave us with a hopeful message. I was thinking about specifically the audience that would be here tonight. And so I thought I would share with you a passage of Scripture that shows that Paul was not the only one who was concerned about brethren that would try, or men, but even those among brothers, who would lay down their faith and pretty much serve Satan to disrupt what was going on in congregations, mostly for their own personal gain. That would overwhelm some, and they would follow that path because it served themselves more than it served God, and yet they wouldn't have that recognition. Paul was clearly about that and wrote that in many of his lessons, and we just talked about it tonight, how to watch for that and care for your soul. Mark and avoid those. Peter also said that too. If you'll look in 2 Peter with me, 2 Peter chapter 2, this was something very much on his own mind. And Peter really was just associated with the church in Jerusalem and those churches around Judea on any regular basis. He did know about lots of other congregations, and he did know the work as the brethren came in and out of Jerusalem and reported the things that were done. Not to mention the force, of course, that he was inspired and could know all the things that God would share with him. But as Peter was writing his first epistle about the gospel and how to stay faithful to it and what was good and right for our congregation and serving as an elder, he also had that extra special concern as a shepherd of a particular local flock, most likely there in Jerusalem itself. In chapter 2 he says, "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction." Well, that's bad enough if they do it to themselves. Verse 2, "And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, and cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them and seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished." I'm going to stop there for the message tonight. But Paul said that you mark and avoid those that act this way. And when we see their work go out and steal some away, that we protect ourselves and we protect those brethren that we can. Mark and avoid them so that they are not taken away with these things. Because it will come. Peter says it will come. Just like the false teachers of old and dragged Israel over and over into chaos and ruin over and over that God had to restore them back from until they would be no more restored. That same type of evil spirit would go out among men and that they would try to tear up churches. They would even go so far as to claim to be part of the work and deny that the Lord Jesus had ever done any of the things he had done to buy them and pay for the cost of their sin. And ultimately, verse 2, the way of truth would be evil spoken of. It would go so boldly as to undermine and refute the very gospel that brought them together in the first place. And Peter says, sadly, there are those that will follow after them. They will go away. They will find that more appealing. And we have to watch for ourselves. And you think, well, I mean, if they come up in the middle of us, and you know, what are our chances? What is the hope? Well, first of all, there's two ways that we protect ourselves in this. We know the truth of the gospel, and like Paul said, we mark and avoid those things that are opposite of that. But secondly, and maybe even more importantly for us, that it doesn't fall all on us, God knows who the righteous are, and He will not let them slip through His fingers. That God destroyed the angels that sinned in heaven. You think anybody on earth is above the judgment of God for their sin if He will take the angels out of heaven who sinned against Him and cast them into chains of darkness, reserved to judgment? He didn't spare the whole old world. How many lives was that had built themselves up and had thoughts only evil continually against God? And yet God found those eight people who He could put into the ark with those animals, who would do His bidding to build the ark in the first place and then get inside and stay there while God saved them from all of the evil that was in the world that He destroyed. And the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, Abraham begged from 50 to 45 to 40 to 30 to 20 to 10, just 10 souls, if he could, would those cities be saved, so that Lot and his family would not be destroyed. And yet they couldn't find 10 souls, and God had to destroy those cities. And He overthrew them. You know, He condemned them, He overthrew them, and they are an example to those who lived, especially the way that they lived ungodly in Sodom and Gomorrah. But Lot was still not forgotten. He wasn't there to preserve the city, but God preserved him. And he and his wife and his two daughters got out. Now his wife failed almost immediately and lost her life. But she did get out of Sodom and Gomorrah. And what she looked back on was exactly what God told her not to do. But Lot was saved. And why was that? Because he vexed his soul. He saw and he heard all of the things that were going on from day to day and was burdened by their unlawful deeds. That's another way of saying he marked them and he avoided them and he kept himself from that. He kept his wife from that and he kept at least two of his daughters from that. And he hung on to his faith and didn't let those corruptions around him destroy him. And Noah didn't do that. And not all of the angels, not all of the heavenly beings did that either. God separated out those that were lost and preserved all of those who were obedient in their faith and in their devotion and in their loyalty to Him. And when He did that, when He did that for them, those people were saved out of desperate, difficult times. I don't think that any of us are in times that are like that. We do not have that kind of pressure on us. Is evil all around us? Yes. But we much more easily can separate ourselves if we just will. If we mark and avoid those things, we have every ability to avoid them. We do. We can stay away from it. It's all around us, and we could immerse ourselves in it, and we need to be on guard. Peter and Paul are telling this. John told us this. James tells us this. Now, all of the New Testament writers tell us of this. Jesus certainly warned of it. If they're all telling us that, then it's a real thing, and it's something to be watched for. But they're always told to us in messages of hope. Paul said, mark and avoid those, and they will come in and they want to destroy, and it's all about serving themselves. But God's about to destroy Satan get rid of him, crushing his head under your feet. He's going to use you to do what he promised he was going to do when they stayed true to him and faithful to him and didn't get caught up in that. And Peter, as bad as he says it can get and will get, and that some will go away, Lot was not forgotten, Noah was not forgotten, you were not forgotten, I'm not forgotten. If we will stay faithful to the Lord, we are not forgotten. We will not be lost. We may have to go through difficulties, turmoil, but we will not be forgotten. Verse 9, the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to reserve the unjust to the day of judgment. He knows who the wheat and the tares are. He knows how to make that differentiation. When his judgment comes is the proper time for judgment to come. We don't need to worry about when that happens. We need to stay faithful all through that and know we are never forgotten. And that our hope is in God, and we do not have to get lost in the temptations, the turmoil, the disruptions that are all around us from wherever they come. Know that anything that would teach ungodliness and untruth, especially if it goes so far as to deny the Lord Jesus and speak ill of the faith that you know very well is truth, avoid those. Stay true. Hold on through the flood, through the storm, through the destruction that's all around us. Find solace and reserve in God. I tell you that message tonight because we are always on guard. We need to always be on guard. But the Lord knows who His people are. He knows who His faithful are. He knows those who will respond to the gospel, who will seek Him out for truth in their life so that they don't go blindly like the world into destruction. That is what is reserved for the world that won't follow God. And it is the vast majority of people, unfortunately. We've all been warned of that as well. But we've been told that God will not let us blindly go to that destruction if we will stay close to Him. He will save us. He will save us and He will reserve us. And He will deliver us from the temptations that would see our spiritual death. If tonight you need to respond to the gospel in any way, to be obedient initially, to seek out the life that the Lord has for us, or to rectify your life and ask forgiveness of sins and seek the brethren to pray for you and to help you along the way. That's what brethren are for, is to be a security and a support, especially at times like that. You can make that known tonight and we can help you. You can reach out to the elders or you can reach out to other brethren at any time. But we offer a special moment right now for us as a whole to encourage you, to pray for you, and to help you with whatever work needs to be done so that you're faithful with God all the days of your life. Would you please let that be known as we stand to sing a song of encouragement?
There is a place of quiet rest near to the heart.
finishing out the book of Romans. I think it's been a very good study there, but it's been good as well. And for your invitation, well, very encouraging. Is there anything that they need to announce? If not, I'm really thankful to do this, and I'm closing prayer and will willing to do it again on Sunday.
Let us pray. Dearest Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this wonderful opportunity we have to come before you to realize that we can worship you at any time and that you can be with us if there are times of trial or temptation, that we can have this method and this way of remembering your word and your guidance in the same way as your son Jesus was tempted, and he used scriptures to keep from sinning when the devil was tempting him. That we have similar means ourselves, especially if we'll be studying your word ahead of time. We pray that you can be with those that are traveling here and at other places to keep them safe. Help us to be able to gather again, to be able to comfort each other and help each other at any time that we are available, that we can make ourselves available. We pray these things again in your son Jesus to watch over us. Through him we pray. Amen.
Thank you.